You're listening to the official podcast of Asbury University, produced by students with God-honoring conversations that inform, edify, and encourage. This is Asbury. We explore culture and current topics through a Christian worldview, promoting a well-balanced life, and we empower our community to belong, become, and be set apart. I'm your host, Abby Laub. Welcome to This is Asbury. I'm in the studio today with Trent Ellsworth. Welcome, Trent.
Thanks, Abby.
We have been trying to record this for a long time, and I'm really excited that you're here because we have a lot in common with our love for the outdoors, and you specifically lead some really cool programming here at Asbury related to the outdoors. Tell listeners a little bit about what it is you do.
Sure. Abby, I've been here at Asbury University since before it was Asbury University, okay. 2006, and you know, when we started out, we were primarily running our challenge course program. The challenge course is still thriving. It's focused on team building, leadership development. A lot of different types of groups mm-hmm. come in, intact groups usually that are together already for a reason. And we're really essentially trying to help them perform better, mm-hmm. communicate better, function more effectively as a team. Yeah. That evolved because of my personal interest in the outdoors mm-hmm. into some other things that are a little bit more adventure education and experiential and outdoor education related. So now I have the opportunity to be a professor in the College mm-hmm. of Health Science and Math, mm-hmm. I think is the order that we're supposed to say those in. And I also am the director of what used to be the Asbury University Center for Adventure Leadership, mm-hmm. but is in the process of becoming the Kentucky Outdoor Institute.
Yeah, that's great. So talk a little bit, you touched on it, about the major. You know, there's an academic piece to this. What are students studying with adventure leadership, and what are they doing with that?
Sure. So the sales pitch I always give is adventure education and leadership is the name of our major. It grew out of our old recreation major. It was mm-hmm. an emphasis area within the recreation major, but it seemed to be the sort of up and coming, that's where everybody wanted to be program. Mm-hmm. So it is now the core major and has actually four emphasis areas within it. Those are called, don't have a piece of paper here, outdoor behavioral health care, okay. which is focused on things such as wilderness therapy, adventure mm-hmm. therapy type programs. So we work with the social work department mm-hmm. On that program. We have outdoor discipleship, which wow. is a collaboration with the youth ministry and Christian ministries department, huh. focused on preparing students specifically that want to use the outdoors in some sort of ministry mm-hmm. Aspect. Traditionally, that's primarily running summer camps, things like that.
Yeah.
But that area is growing and evolving. I mean, quite honestly, a youth minister these days might really benefit from mm-hmm. that program as churches are doing more and more neat and unique and innovative things. We have the outdoor recreation. That's sort of the in-house traditional one, which is not really an area you're going to get rich working in. You can certainly have a high.
You can have so much fun, though.
Absolutely. You're going to enjoy going to work every day. So we've got students that have graduated from that program that are working in, you know, the guiding industries, specifically mm-hmm. Ski
Tell
patrol.
People what guiding is if they don't know.
Sure. I mean, you could just be a simple raft guide.
Okay.
But if you've got our degree, you're going to stand out mm-hmm. in that role, and you're going to get moved into management pretty quick.
So it could be rafting or rock climbing or skiing or really anything in
right.
the outdoors.
It's all about
certification, education, keeping
right.
people safe. Yeah.
Certifying people to do the technical activities, mm-hmm. but also preparing them for the leadership and judgment that's really needed
yeah.
To do that
yes.
well. And then the last area is called environmental studies. And actually, we have a graduate on campus today that's speaking in some classes that
okay.
she runs an environmental education center up in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And that's a growing area as well, especially if you can find a facility that wants to collaborate and work with school curriculum,
mm-hmm.
A way to get kids outside for their science class, basically.
Yeah, we need more of that for sure. So something that really struck me, you said the outdoor therapy component. I love that because Asbury also has the equine therapy, and it's just all these new ways to help people heal, whether that's, you know, PTSD or mental health or, you know, depression and anxiety, giving them new tools to do that, I think is vitally important right now. So that's great that you guys do that. So with coming under this umbrella of Kentucky Outdoor Institute, can you explain why you've been working on this?
Sure. So I think the thing that I really want people to understand about KOI, the Kentucky Outdoor Institute, is that so we have this academic program here on campus, and a lot of schools have an academic program that is similar mm-hmm. to this, and or they have an outdoor recreation program on campus that provides students at their university or college the opportunity to lead the sorts of programming that we offer. Mm-hmm. But they're almost always leading that programming for their peers, for mm-hmm. other college students. And everybody should understand that you're going to have a sort of a different standard of care if you're working with a paying client versus if you're just working for somebody that lives down the hall from you in the dorm. Right. So we kind of launched the idea because we've had the challenge course since 1992. It was the first thing we did around here. And it's always served outside groups and populations. What if we brought outside the general public in and ran other adventure activities mm-hmm. with them? So our students now have an opportunity to lead those activities, but with a paying client, with someone who has a different expectation of a standard of care, a different relationship, different levels of interaction. And I think that that's the unique thing about what they get when they come here to Asbury to study this field. And we really wanted to leverage not only the fact that we're in a beautiful area mm-hmm. for doing these things. Asbury has a riverfront property on the beautiful Kentucky River. It's a 255-mile river. Jessamine County has the longest shoreline of any county on the 255-mile mm-hmm. Kentucky River. And we have cliffs almost the whole way. Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous down there.
It really is.
Feel like you are in the middle of nowhere mm-hmm. and be 5 minutes from town. Mm-hmm. So we can run a canoeing trip right there for your family that wants to get outside but doesn't have time to drive to the Smokies.
Or doesn't have their own canoes, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to emphasize is with that aspect of the Kentucky Outdoor Institute, we are still an education program, and we're primarily focused on letting those students lead well, but we're always going to have an educational angle on mm-hmm. what we're doing. We're not going to act like a normal old canoe livery. We're not going to take you out and say, here's a boat, go have fun.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to go out there with you, and we're going to guide. And guiding means we're going to have a standard of care. We're going to manage the risk. We're going to mm-hmm. have a first aid kit with you. The person that's running your trip is going to have a wilderness first responder certification. But more importantly, they're also going to teach you how to be more effective with the activity you're doing and teach you maybe something about the environment that you're in.
Yeah.
We always want to keep that educational feel because my belief is that people learn the best when they're having fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it makes them want to come back when, you know, they've had fun and they've been enriched in some way. So you touched on it a little bit, this area just being so special. Why do you love this area? And why do you think Asbury and Central Kentucky are just so well suited for this type of programming?
Well, I'm not from Kentucky mm-hmm. originally, but I do believe it's one of the most beautiful places on earth. Mm-hmm. So we've got just kind of a really unique location here. I don't want to get into geology and bore everyone, but we are right where there's so many different outdoor activities that kind of mm-hmm. run together. Yeah. So first off, Kentucky, after Alaska, has the most miles of navigable waterways mm-hmm. in the country.
Yeah,
the Red River Gorge is literally an hour and 15 minutes away.
Yeah.
And this is world-class rock climbing. Mm-hmm. People from Kentucky don't realize we're mm-hmm. the most visited rock climbing area in the country.
Yeah.
People come from all over the world to rock climb here.
Yep.
It is truly world-class. In addition to that, the whole rest of the Daniel Boone National Forest has beautiful geological features, beautiful places for camping, backpacking. We've even got trails for horseback
riding.
Tons
of hiking trails, too.
Tons of hiking.
Yeah.
And then you add that right here in central Kentucky with the Kentucky River that I already mentioned, and we're kind of sitting on top of a state that's full of holes in it. We've got more caving in Kentucky than anywhere else as well. We've got caving right here locally in central Kentucky, but when you get down on the Pennyroyal Plateau further south and then all the way across to Mammoth Cave area, we've just got huge opportunities for outdoor recreation that are relatively untapped, so they're not overcrowded like you might see in other places where it's a little more popular.
Right. So students, in theory, could take people on guided trips to all these places that you just mentioned.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we'll run them other places, too. Don't get me wrong. We've taken youth groups backpacking in Colorado before.
Cool.
And we've got the processes in place to do permitting for all those types of things. You name it, we'll make it work.
Yeah, we had a student recently who was actually working in my office, and she had just come back from, like, I don't know, Utah or someplace out west for a whole semester. She was doing something. Talk about that, what the students get to do because of this program.
Sure. So what you're referring to is our field semester. Mm-hmm. So within that adventure education and leadership core curriculum, students usually in their sophomore year fall, but it could be their junior or senior year fall, you just can't do it as a freshman, are going to participate in what we call the field semester. That's an acronym, Faith-Based Integrative Experiential Leadership Development is what it means. Hope you picked that up on the mic. It's a mouthful. So we just call it the field semester.
Yeah.
And while you're on that field semester as a participant, you are enrolled in 16 credit hours that we are overseeing. You're in a cohort. You're not taking any other classes. So we'll take up to 12 students at a time per cohort. Okay. I prefer it when it's 8 or 10, but we've been filling up lately. And those students essentially get to participate in an immersive, integrative experience that allows them to learn the technical skills in so many different areas. Like you said, we do technical canyoneering in Utah. Wow. Most of you don't know what that is. Go look it up. We will take you whitewater rafting in Pennsylvania, but we call that decision-making 101 because you're learning some judgment skills and some theory behind how decisions are actually made and which ones are important and which ones aren't. But you're learning it in a real-time setting where the consequences of
life or death setting.
I won't say life or death on the river we're on. But you could probably get hurt. But more importantly, there's that sense of risk, right? We talk a lot about what we call the adventure experience paradigm in our field, but it's the space between perceived risk and real risk, and we call that our learning zone, right? So we're getting people in that learning zone where they're a little bit stressed, but really they're focused now.
I think that's so important. I want to touch on that real quick. So you said risk, and I actually just listened to a podcast recently that was sharing data about risk and the lack of risk in our lives and the lack of risk in the lives of students. And their theory is this is contributing to the mental health crisis because kids literally don't have to ever take a risk. Like, everything is done for them. They're bubble wrapped, you know? So risk is so important. I love that you teach that. Can you touch on that a little bit and why you think risk is so important?
What you're really talking about is resiliency. And there's actually a lot of programs that are focused specifically on resiliency in that therapeutic world. And that believe that the outdoors, and there's some good science to back it up, are one of the better places to develop that. So when we're talking with our students, we just call it grit. One of the quotes that kind of goes around our program, I don't know if this is appropriate for the podcast, but it says, if you're going to be dumb, you better be tough. So in other words, if you don't listen to the instructions,
I can attest
to
that.
You try that thing that doesn't seem like a great idea, you better be tough because you might hurt yourself. So from an actual risk perspective, you know, I consider my job to manage that risk in such a way that the students don't really realize that it's being managed. The metaphor I use is like a really great zoo. If you're in the San Diego Zoo as a wild animal, you might not even realize you're in a zoo because it's such a great zoo. There's also really bad zoos where the animals do not have a high quality of life. I want my students to feel like they have real decisions to make, and I'm going to let them experience the consequences of those decisions, but eventually they are going to hit that fence, and we're going to make sure that we're managing the risk because we don't want there to be long-term negative repercussions. You cannot eliminate all risks from outdoor and adventure activities, but we're going to do the best that we can to manage those. But what you're talking about in that resiliency area, that grit area, I think just sort of, it's right. Like, we live in this world where, you know, maybe your average person wakes up in the morning, they get in their car in their garage, they drive
they're never
to their
cold
office,
or hot.
Park in a parking garage and go inside. They don't even need an umbrella if it's pouring outside. We're going outside and we're doing it. Whatever the weather is, we always say there's no bad weather, only bad clothes.
That's what I tell my kids all the time. I'm like, go outside. I don't care if it's cold. Yeah. Put your coat on.
you're gonna have to kind of suck it up. But it's pretty interesting how quickly you get used to that.
Yes.
There's a really old podcast where a lady that rows across the Atlantic solo says there's a limit to how long you can be afraid of the same thing. And so while I think there are fears that people have that probably can't be changed because they're innate, I think that you can learn to manage and sort of change your capacity and where your comfort zone is. And that's going to create grittier people.
It is. There's a book that came out a couple of years ago now by a guy named Michael Easter. It's called The Comfort Crisis. And that's his argument. It's like we're basically just, we've comforted ourselves into problems. You know, it's like strong, what's that phrase? Tough times make strong men. Strong men make easy times make weak men, or something like that. You know, it's like so cyclical. So I just think that's so fascinating.
We can say coddled instead of just comfort, I think.
Coddled. Yes. It's like when I was your age, I had to walk uphill both ways to school with the snow, you know.
Absolutely.
Everything's very easy now, and there's some benefit to that, but also some costs to that.
Absolutely.
So why do you love the outdoors so much personally and also as a teaching tool?
I mean, I think the first thing to really bring up for me as an individual is from a faith perspective, the outdoors has always been a place where I've just felt a little bit more connected to the Lord. The Holy Spirit has spoken to me more in the places that I think God created than the creations of man. I think, you know, if we really think about it, what we're trying to do is replicate or mimic some of the beauty of what God's created, even with our greatest architecture, right? So I could be in a beautiful cathedral in Europe, And I'm going to sense the awe of mm-hmm. that setting, but I could be in, as they say, the Cathedral of the Pines mm. And probably be just as awed, if not more, because that's the way God made the earth, right? And that's what I want to be out in. So there's a spiritual aspect of it for me. I just enjoy adventure. I've never really been a thrill seeker, oddly enough. I don't look for adrenaline rushes. Mm. I like the challenge. I like the problem solving that the outdoors presents. Yeah. I like the immediate consequences of good and bad decisions, which leads into exactly why I like it for an educational tool, right? Because you get that instant feedback. And instant feedback is really good for learning.
yes.
So I don't offer a lot of written tests to my mm-hmm. students. What they realize is they're kind of being tested all the time once they get out there.
Yeah,
what kind
like of go solve a problem. Yeah. Go, yeah, exactly. What are some of the? Do you have any examples? That's so fun. What do you make your students do?
in our intro class this next week, actually, our basic outdoor skills class. This is like a prerequisite for that field semester. You got to be able to survive it. In other words,
right?
They're going to be building survival shelters.
Awesome. And make sleep. A fire.
No fires allowed on this one. We've already done one match fires.
Okay.
People are like, well, why don't you make them use a flint and steel? I'm like, because if you can remember to bring a flint and steel, then you can remember to bring matches.
Right.
But you need to be able to build a fire in wet conditions. No, this is a survival shelter where they have to build a structure that they sleep in for a night.
Wow.
With no sleeping bag.
Wow.
Only the clothes that are on their back.
What
and
time
whatever
of year?
They might have in a day pack. So I'm not a complete, you know, I'm not going to put them through that much stress. So I try to shoot for late March, early April.
Okay.
So it's cold, but not going to kill
it's
somebody.
It's reasonable.
Exactly.
Yes.
Again, we're managing risks here.
Exactly.
So that's one fun example. I'm sure there's others. I mean, a lot of it is the situations. We do a lot of rock climbing activities. Mm. We do have the Red River Gorge mm-hmm. here so closely. So we do an activity called Climbing 201. And I always tell my students, this is like a 3 or 4 day segment that we do with a smaller group. Like you are actually taking responsibility for the lives of your peers in this situation. You need to take this seriously. Mm. So we give them the tools.
Mm-hmm.
And then we manage those risks, but ultimately they are responsible for implementing this system and creating an anchor system that's going to allow these people to participate safely. We teach them if that person can't get back up the cliff, how can we run these rescue systems, all different things like that.
Just
everything's a problem that we're trying to solve all the time. It's fun stuff.
Yeah. What have you learned from your students in this process?
Oh, wow. that my hair is getting gray more quickly because of them than even my own children. No, I learn a lot from them every day. I think the biggest thing I've noticed is as I've been doing this for quite a while now and have gotten older is just how much the culture has kind of changed and evolved, which I think that does connect back to some of that grit or comfort that we were talking about earlier. But these students are hungry to get out and do stuff. We get great students here at Asbury.
Yeah,
I mean, they're phenomenal.
We really do.
But they're hungry to get out there and really learn and push, and as soon as they start soaking up that environment, that nature, that creation, they just want more, and they realize it's just really beneficial to their lives, and so it's really cool to see them go through that process.
Yeah. What types of careers have you seen them pursue after this?
They kind of do everything, oddly enough. So it is adventure education and leadership. We're teaching leadership and let me put that a different way. So I think Kevin Brown quotes this sometimes, adventure is the pedagogy, right, is what we say, or pedagogy, depending on how you pronounce that word. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that we're teaching people to lead in adventure situations and settings, but we're also just teaching them how to lead. And so it becomes a very transferable skill set. Mm-hmm. And we've got people working in all those fields that we just discussed for our emphasis areas. I've got people running environmental education centers, working in outdoor therapy programs, running outdoor therapy programs, working as summer guides and winter ski patrolmen. But we've also got graduates that are business people, nurses, lawyers, EMTs, and fire workers.
Yeah, high-pressure situations.
Yeah, lots of places where you need to be able to lead. And it turns out that good judgment and leadership are transferable to any area of life, and you're going to do well if you've got those things.
Absolutely. So tell me about some upcoming plans now that you're establishing KOI, Kentucky Outdoor Institute. What are you looking forward to? What's that going to look like?
Well, this current semester, because we think in semesters, right? We're at a university. I mean, we obviously have done lots of programs for youth and for the general public in the summers throughout our history. But what we're really focused on right now is our launch event for the Kentucky Outdoor Institute, which is coming up here pretty soon. And we're just going to kind of try to make a scene on campus, get people aware of what it is we are doing and we can do.
Yeah.
And then We really only have one other big activity planned for this semester because all of our efforts are going into that launch event. Mm-hmm. We've run something actually since I was a student here. I think 2000 or 2001 was the first time, called the Midnight Canoe.
And we go canoeing.
It's either the Friday or Saturday night right before finals week every year in the spring semester. And it's just like to embrace that idea that you can't study all weekend, guys. You need to get out a little bit and have some fun. So we don't leave in the dark. We leave in the light. Okay. We paddle our normal paddling route right here on the Kentucky mm-hmm. River, close to home. And we get up there. We have a fire. We do some s'mores. We have some ALAs. Just have some fellowship. And then right as it gets dark, we paddle back in the dark. And the goal is to return at midnight. But that paddling in the dark experience really blows a lot of people's minds.
Wow.
And it's just a great time. It's a fun trip. We've had high water, we've had low water, we've had rainy nights, but we've always pushed through and pulled it off, and we've been doing it for like 25 years now, almost. We only got 38 spots. They will fill up quick.
I think you need to hold one of those for me, Trent. That sounds like so much fun.
You can
fun.
Absolutely join us.
Wow, I love that. Well, in closing, is there anything else that you want to share about this program or about, you know, the mission behind this?
Oh, man. I mean, I could probably talk all day because it's been a passion of mine. I mean, I guess it's important for me to mention Kiki as well. Mm-hmm. She's our assistant director, and we brought her on just about a year ago now, and she's rocking it. She is really pushing to help improve things, change things. She's got a totally different background than me. She worked in that wilderness therapy area after college. So we've brought her in, and if we're being honest, she's just a lot more emotionally aware than I am, and it's really cool to have her to connect with the students in a different way.
Yeah.
And just bring that aspect to the program, because we really ultimately do really want to see our students' development, both emotionally, spiritually, educationally, and she's been really a great asset for us. So it'd be silly not to mention her, and just kind of understand that if you have an interest in the outdoors and want to get involved in some way, we probably have a way we can get you involved.
Can people minor in this?
Yes,
we
have a major with the four emphasis areas. The minor is essentially the core. You still get to participate in that field semester,
Wow,
which is pretty neat.
That's amazing. Wow. I think I picked the wrong degree. No, I'm just kidding. That's really cool. Well, I love the mission behind it. I love that you use the outdoors. I mean, I'm just constantly harping on people. Got a problem? Go outside. Got a problem? Go outside. Like, I just think, like, the tools that God gives us in nature, whether it's the sunshine or the water or the grounding or the tree, like anything, like there's something that you can benefit from as a human. And I just think a lot of people will get disconnected from that in modern life. So just think those are such important lessons for people, regardless of whether or not they're in your major or not. So
absolutely agree.
Well, I'm excited about KOI. I know since I've been aware of Asbury, I've always heard about adventure leadership. I've been in Central Kentucky since 2005, and I always knew adventure leadership at Asbury was a thing. So I'm so happy to learn more about it. So regardless of whether or not you're going to come to Asbury or you're going to major in this, if you're just, you know, someone working today hearing this, how would you encourage them to instill a sense of adventure back into their life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the why might be important than the more important than the how, but just getting outside and even just to relax, it might not be that adventurous, but it can certainly be. I mean, we call it recreation for a reason, right? It's recreation. So getting outside, being in the created world and just letting that sort of soak in, that it's kind of bigger than you, is one great way. And also just, you know, try things that challenge you, push yourself. Oddly enough, adventure, by definition, doesn't have to do anything with the outdoors. It just has to do with uncertainty of outcomes. Mm-hmm. And I think we're all going to be better people if we're challenging ourselves a little bit every once in a while and getting out of our comfort zones.
Well, I cannot think of a better way to close. Thank you for your time, Trent.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of This is Asbury. To learn more about Asbury University, visit asbury.edu.